supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about the best way to approach the Quran. Today, Friday, is the 27th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we listen to verses 41 to 42 of chapter Fussilat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innal ladhina kafaru bidh-dhikri lamma ja'ahum wa innahu lakitabun 'aziz.
Indeed, those who disbelieve in the message after it has come to them, and indeed it is a mighty book.
لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد.
Falsehood cannot approach it from before it or from behind it. It is a revelation from a Lord who is wise and praiseworthy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Holy Quran reminds men of his neglect and negligence. The title Aziz, that means the honorable, is exclusively employed to refer to the Holy Quran from amongst scriptures. The blessed verses are addresses to all polytheists and disbelievers who regard the Holy Quran as encompassing magic and falsehood, and also those who do not believe in some of Quranic injunctions, such as usury, murder, adultery, and calumnious accusation and slander, as well as divine commands as to one-fifth tax and pilgrimage to Mecca and act against them. It also addresses those who subjectively interpret Quranic verses, like those regarding the guardianship, infallibility, and purity of Ahlul Bayt, Prophet's family, peace be upon them all.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
The topic of this episode is the best way to approach the Quran. The Quran is the book of Allah. Every word in the Quran has come from Allah. That is why we say that it is the holy book. The words in the Quran were sent by Allah to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. The Prophet received the words of Allah through angel Gabriel. Prophet Muhammad regularly required the words of Allah to Muslims around him. These Muslims were very pleased and excited to receive the words of Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, "The most truthful speech, the most eloquent advice, and the greatest stories are in the book of Allah." The Muslims listened carefully to what the Prophet read, memorized the sentences and passages of the Quran, recited them regularly, and followed the teachings of the Quran in order to preserve the words of Allah. The Prophet appointed special people known as scribes of the Quran to write down the words of Allah, fulfilling the very purpose for which the Quran was sent.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today, we are going to talk about the different approaches to the understanding of the Holy Quran. The contents of the author's thought should be completely understood, and afterwards, an attempt should be made to identify its roots and sources. Otherwise, the result of one's effort will be something like the works of certain writers of history, of various sciences, who write without any thorough knowledge of the subject, or similar to the works of those writers of philosophical books who undertake, for instance, a comparative study of Avicenna and Aristotle, without any knowledge of either. After superficial comparison, and on discovering some literal similitudes between the works of the two great thinkers, they immediately sit down to pass a quick judgment. Although for the purpose of a comparative study, very deep and profound knowledge of the ideas and thoughts of both of the philosophers is required, a lifetime of study is necessary for such a task, otherwise it has no more value than can be given to blind imitative conjectures. So only then we can arrive at an estimation of the influence of other books of those times on the contents of the Quran, and if we find something common in them, discover its proportions, we can then see whether the material that has been borrowed from other books is used in an original manner or not. Does the Quran go even further to the extent of playing a role in amending the contents of those books and setting right the errors occurring in them? So these three important stages are needed to approach a holy book like Al-Quran: authenticity, analytical study, and study of the sources of the ideas. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Now, purity of intention and ways of approaching the Quran with purity of intentions. We should earnestly pray to Allah for protecting from Satan. Allah gives in the Noble Quran repeated and emphatic warnings to human about the risk of following the dark suggestions of Satan. For example, Allah says, O you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly and follow not the footsteps of the evil one, Satan, for he is to you an avowed enemy. Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 208. And because Satan is out there with his meanness to mislead us, Allah Almighty practically admonishes us to ask for his protection from Satan when seeking guidance from the Quran. In chapter Al-Nahr, that is chapter 16 of the Holy Quran, verse 96, Allah says, when you do read the Quran, seek Allah's protection from Satan, the rejected one. Beseeching Almighty Allah for protection from the guiles of Satan means that humans must have full faith in Allah, the Merciful, as the Creator and Guardian who can protect us from every harm.
هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
In this part, we look at the levels of reading the Quran. We must show readiness and determination to follow the teachings of the Quran. This should be an expression of an unquestioning resolve to surrender to the will of Allah as expressed in His book. This also indicates that we are prepared to do without all selfish interests, lust, greed, foolish pride, and arrogance, in short, any love for the fleeting pleasures of life. In other words, this is a changeover to a new life dedicated to Allah's pleasure. The Quran should be read with full awareness that now we are with Allah, listening to His words, which are meant to guide us along the straight path. So when reading the Quran, we must take enough time for the verses to get a grip on our hearts and minds, so that the teachings contained therein can be embedded to the greatest possible extent.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 121, comes forward, and in the view of some people, when it comes to reading this verse, they believe it's an encouragement to recite the Quran. Yes. يَتْلَوْنَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Allah says, there are those who we have bestowed the book for, the Quran, those recite it in the best possible way. Some people come forward and say, this is recitation, and an emphasis on you and I to recite the Quran. Yet, and a further examination of the Holy Book, as well as the Arabic language, reveals a very important, delicate point. Qira'a is not the same as tilawa. Quran doesn't say here, in this instance, yaqra'oon. They say, yatlawnahu haqqa tilawateh. Tilawa means what? Tilawa means qira'a ma'a tadabbur. It means to recite with reflection and contemplation. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, ulaika yu'minuna bih. Those individuals who recite the Quran in tilawa way, those are the ones who truly believe in it. Because the Mufassirin say, you can recite it but not believe. But you cannot have the tilawa of the Quran but not believe. Yes? Because that's a different level, isn't it?
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, which was about the best way to approach the Quran. Inshallah, we continue this interesting and, of course, essential topic. Thank you very much, and keep us in your dua and supplications. Till another meeting, have a nice time.
موعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful and the Leader of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life, but still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted and passed down to us from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about the attributes of an intelligent person. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The attribute of a man of intellect is that he is clement towards one who behaves rationally. The attribute of a man of intellect is that he is clement, he is patient towards one who behaves rashly with him. He overlooks the fault of one who wrongs him, is humble even towards the one who is lower than him in rank, tries to get ahead of those above him in his quest for good. Whenever he wishes to speak, he contemplates. If what he wants to say is good, he says it and benefits as a result. And if it is bad, then he keeps quiet and remains safe as a result. When a temptation arises before him, he holds fast to Allah and guards his hand and his tongue. If he sees virtue in it, he seizes it, neither losing his modesty thereat, nor displaying any greed. These are 10 qualities by means of which a man of intellect may be known. These are 10 qualities that the Prophet Muhammad mentioned for a man of intellect. Let's go over these qualities once again. First of all, the person is patient towards people who are, you know, who are bad towards him, who act rashly and harshly towards him. First of all, one. Second of all, he overlooks the faults of people who wrong him. People, you know, wrong him. He forgets about it. Forgives them. Third, he's humbled towards even those who are lower than him. Fourth, he tries to get ahead of those above him in his quest for good. Meaning, if there's somebody who is above him, who's superior to him, he tries to over-surpass him with the hope of getting an authority so that he can use that authority and power to do good. Fifth, when he wants to speak, he contemplates. If he thinks that what he's going to say is good, he will say it. Otherwise, he keeps quiet. Sixth, when a temptation arises before him, he holds fast to Allah. He guards his hand and his tongue. If he sees virtue in it, he seizes it. Otherwise, he doesn't do it. Right? In a similar hadith, which is more comprehensive, kind of alludes to a lot of these qualities at once, the Prophet ﷺ said, the most intelligent of people is he who is best at dealing with people. Right? This kind of combines within itself all of those qualities mentioned, right? In another hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam was once asked to describe a man of intellect, to which he replied in the following way: he is the one who puts things in their place. Then he was asked, so describe to us the ignorant man, to which he replied, I have already done so. He's the person, meaning, in other words, he's the person who doesn't put things in their proper place. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the characteristics and attributes of the intelligent person in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I am really happy to inform you that some of the students of
Xavier International School are here with us in this session, and I really welcome them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you all right?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome. Ali Nasir.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, great. And Fawad Haider.
Salam, sir.
Salam.
I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Salam alaikum, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Salam alaikum. So, welcome, brothers.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So today, inshallah, we'll talk about Surah Al-Ikhlas, which a lot of Muslims, okay, have memorized this. Actually, okay, they know this by their heart because they recite this surah in their prayers. Like other small surahs we practiced in the previous sessions, inshallah we'll practice in the coming sessions. You can also memorize them and recite them in your prayers, okay? So, only for Surah Al-Fil, Surah Quraysh, that we will talk about them, both surahs are counted as one surah, okay? You should recite both of them in your prayer instead of one surah. So we'll talk about them, inshallah, in the coming sessions. So now, Surah Al-Ikhlas, we'll have a short explanation, and then we'll continue through the Tajweed rules. So, please, everyone, let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahus samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad.
Nice one. Make sure you should practice it well, okay? That was a nice recitation. You should practice it well with Tajweed rules to learn, because you usually recite it in your prayer. Ready to repeat after me?
Yes.
Brothers
yes.
and sisters, Surah Al-Ikhlas, yes, which is called Surah Al-Tawheed as well. So you can listen and practice with us. Let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل هو الله أحد
قل هو الله أحد
الله الصمد
الله الصمد
لم يلد ولم يولد
لم يلد ولم يولد
ولم يكن له كفوا أحد
ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
أحسن. Thank you so much. This surah talks about this topic. That, well, the mushrikeen, they were saying that, who is your Lord? Asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about how Allah Almighty is, okay? So Allah Almighty revealed the surah to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, say, He is Allah the One, okay? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ Allah is the all-embracing. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ He neither begat, okay, nor was begotten, okay? He admits he is not born from a father or mother, nor he gives birth to anyone, okay? Nor he has a son, for example, or a daughter, okay? So, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ Nor has he any equal, okay? Any equal, he's unique. Now, guys, this surah is an important surah, right? Actually, Imam Ali alayhi salam was reciting this surah a lot in most of the times, or all kind of always, I think. He was reciting this surah in his prayer. Because this surah is called the Surah of Tawheed, which talks about the oneness of Allah Almighty. So if someone understands the reality of this surah, which it's so difficult, okay? Of course, they will never forget to recite this surah daily in their daily life. My teacher was, I think, talking about some scholars, okay? that they were actually, because they knew a lot of things about this surah, they were reciting this surah 1,000 times every day. Is it impossible?
No.
I have experienced it. I tried it once. Let me see. Is it possible to recite 1,000 times a day? A lot of people have done this, okay? It's possible. You can do it. It has a lot of thawab. Okay, Surah Tawheed. So guys, now this surah talks about the attributes of Allah Almighty. And it refuses the belief of those people who are saying that the angels are the daughter of Allah. Okay? The mushrikeen. They were saying that the angels are the daughter of Allah. Allah Almighty, like, he has accepted the angels, okay, as his daughters, okay? Children. Okay? This refuses. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. And also refuses the belief of Christians, who believe that Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, is the son of God. Or the Jewish who were believing that Uzair, the Prophet Uzair, is the son of Allah. It refuses. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He doesn't have a son, nor he is the son of anyone. Okay? Understood? He doesn't, for example, he's not born from any person, and he is not giving, for example, birth to anyone. He doesn't have a son. So it refuses, completely refuses the sayings, the belief of those people who are believing that God has children, has got Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam is the son. Come on, bro. Prophet Isa alayhi salam was the son of Lady Mary. Yes? Of course, she didn't have a husband, but Allah Almighty did this. It means Allah Almighty creates human beings. Okay? Allah Almighty even created Adam alayhi salam without a father and a mother. Yes? Also, Allah Almighty can create him without a father as well. It's easy for Allah Almighty. Yes? إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَيَّقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. It's existed.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So, guys, let's go to Tajweed rules because they are important, okay? The interpretation, the tafsir are very important, of course, but we don't have much time. You got to refer to the tafsir book, inshallah. So, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. It's a part of the surah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ هُوَ اللَّهُ. Okay. You have a fatha on waw. Then the word Allah, the first rule tells you that if you got a fatha sound before the word Allah, the letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced heavily, right? With an ah sound. هُوَ اللَّهُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ أَحَدٌ أَحَدٌ. When you stop, normal قَلْقَلَ is applied because you change it to sukoon. أَحَد. Repeat it. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد.
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد.
أحسن. Thank you. اللَّهُ الصَّمَد.
اللَّهُ الصَّمَد.
Yeah, it's this way. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَد. Okay, it's continue of that one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Yeah, I mean, in according to grammar, okay, Arabic grammar, it's that way. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ. Look, you start Allah, the word Allah. When you start reading the word Allah, pronounce the letter lam heavily. اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ. Right? Yeah. Dal is also pronounced with an echoing sound. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ.
لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ.
أحسن. The weak قلقلة on dal. لَمْ يَلِدْ, because itself is ساكن. It's weak قلقلة.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
أحسنتم. Different types of recitation of this ayah has been narrated. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. كُفْأً أَحَدٌ. And some other narrations, okay? That the reciters usually recite that way. So, they are correct. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ. Nun sakin plus lam.
Idgham
merge them. يَكُلْ لَهُ. لَهُ. Wow, baby, wow, there we have. So stretch the sound.
وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ.
كُفُوًا. Tanween plus hamza. What rule is applied?
Idghar.
Idghar, which means clearly pronounce the sound of tanween. أَنْ. كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. So that's it. This surah was very simple. A lot of points we mentioned here, but refer to the Tafasir book for more information, for complete information, for the best teachings, okay, about Tawheed. So if you could recite Surah Tawheed 1,000 times, okay, make sure, inshallah, you do it, okay? Practice it at least one time. Yeah. Try it once, okay? Maybe you will understand a lot of things. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Now, we have learned the Tajweed rules in this surah. Once we all will repeat, okay? We'll recite with the Tajweed rules that we have now learned. All right, Hassan?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein? Ali Nasir, Fawad, ready?
Yes.
Listen and repeat. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ.
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ.
اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ.
اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ.
لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ.
لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى
مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَجِّلْ فَرَجَهُمْ.
Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us and listening to IRAB English Radio. Thanks to IRAB English Radio. Thanks to you, to Xavier International Schools Network. Please stay with us. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
We're waiting for you to be by your side.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. Well, today in our studio, we have with us Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Karimi, in our previous episode, you gave us very much information about Sufyani, like about his names, about his titles, about the lineage he comes from, and about other things. But now we have certain narrations, as you said previously, which talk about his physical features. I would want you to explain that for us, like, what about his physical features?
We talk about some of the features of Sufyani in some of the previous sessions. And as I mentioned, it seemed that people in the time of Sufyani will not have problem in recognizing Sufyani, who Sufyani is, because of the actions that he will do. Now, is there any narration talking about some of the physical features of him, like his face, for example, or how he looks like? Again, there are some narrations, but there is only one authentic narration that I will talk about that later. All the features that are mentioned in the narrations are as follows. Then I will refer to that authentic narration. Some narrations call him as Azraq, which means a bruised eyes. And the other feature, physical feature for his face is that he is A'war. A'war means a person like a one-eyed man.
Okay.
The third is Wahsh al-Wajh, which means that he has a scary face.
Okay.
Next is Al-Ashqar. Al-Ashqar means a person with a red and white face, but the red is dominant over the white. And Ahmar is another, feature that is he's red. His face is,
okay.
is like a red Redness, person.
Dominates the color.
Exactly. And the other one is Jadri. Jadri means a person who is suffering from the disease known as smallpox.
Okay.
And the last one is Zakhim al-Hama, meaning that he has like a big head.
Okay.
For example, in this regard, let me just share one narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam, in which he says, يَخْرُجُ ابْنُ آكِلَةِ الْأَكْبَاتِ مِنَ الْوَادِ الْيَابِسِ The son of Akilat al-Akbad, we said that this is referring to Hind,
yeah.
the wife of Abu Sufyan. He will come from the dried land, Al-Wadi al-Yabis. And then the Imam says that he is Wahsh al-Wajh, he has a scary face, Zakhim al-Hama, he has a big head, Biwajhihi Atharun Jadri, he is suffering from smallpox, Idha Ra'aytahu Hasibtahu A'war. When you see him like a one-eyed man.
Okay.
This is in Kamaluddin, page 651, chapter 57, hadith number 9.
All right.
Now, as I mentioned, these are all the points mentioned in the narrations as the physical features, especially for his face. But it seems that there is only one authentic narration in this regard, and it seems that we may just suffice with this one narration talking about how he looks like, and okay. I think it is sufficient for us in recognizing and realizing who Sufyani is.
Well, the features that we have named so far seem to be very, very scary.
Exactly.
And before I just need to take a deep breath, so we will take a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
I can feel your eyes. Like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. We are talking about the Sufyani, and now we were talking about the physical features of Sufyani. Dr. Karimi, before going to the break, told us that he would be having bruised eyes. He's a one-eyed man. He has a scary face, and his skin color is red and white, where redness is dominant over the whiteness, and he is having smallpox, and he has a big head. And one of the narrations from Imam Ali alayhi salam also tells about these features, which are very scary. Now we will say, are these features really in Sufyani or not? Yes, Dr. Karim.
Yeah, many of these features are mentioned in that authentic narration that is quoted by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The narration is quoted by Kamaluddin, by Sheikh Sadur in his Kamaluddin, page 651 in chapter 57, hadith number 10. He says that لو رأيت السفياني, when you see Sufyani, لرأيت أخبث الناس. You see that he is the most wicked of the people. Then the Imam refers to three features for his face: Ashqar, Ahmar, Azraq. And as I mentioned, it means that he is red and white. The red is dominant over the white.
Yeah.
And Azraq is a person with bruised eyes. So these are the features mentioned in this narration of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam.
Well, these have been the features of Sufyani, wherein we have one of the authentic narrations from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. You said that he said, when you will see him, you will realize that he's one of the wicked persons, and in fact, the most wicked of the people. And his color is red and white, where redness dominates his skin color, and he has bruised eyes, which again looks like very scary. Anyways, crossing his physical features. Now, what about his religion? Because we had been saying that he will be against his an enemy, he's going to carry out genocide. Well, who could do that? Like, is he a Muslim or does he have some other religion?
When it comes to the narrations explaining the religion of Sufyani, there are a couple of narrations in this regard which again may contradict each other. But the point is that none of them has an authentic chain of the narration. Of course, I will share the narrations for information of the dear listeners. But none of them is authentic, so we cannot come to a certain conclusion about his religion. But there is one certain point, and that is the fact that he is a great enemy to the Shia. There is no doubt about that. And he will try just to attack the lands of the Shia and to massacre the Shia. But referring to the narrations, although none of them are authentic, but just let me share the narrations. There are three groups of narrations about his religion.
Okay.
According to some narrations, he is a Christian.
Okay.
In this regard, we have a narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Of course, when I say that from Imam alayhi salam, we are not sure about that because
there's again a chain of narrations which we are going to analyze.
The narration is Mursal.
Yeah.
Mursal narration means that the chain of the narration is not complete. There are some people missing in the chain of the narration.
Narrations, yes. Dr. Karimi, I would want you to read that narration for us after a short break. Sure. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us. Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior, and we have a Dr. Karimi. Dr. Karimi, before going to the break, you were talking about the narration which talks about the religion of Sufyani.
As I mentioned, the first narration describes Sufyani as a Christian person. This narration, although it is a Mursal narration, it's not an authentic narration, but according to this narration, Imam Ali salam is quoted as saying, وَخُرُوجُ السُّفْيَانِ بِرَايَةٍ خَضْرَى وَصَلِيبٍ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ. This is in Mukhtasar Masair al-Darajat, page 199.
Okay.
Sufyani will have an uprising, and he will come with green flag and a golden cross. The narration does not call him a Christian, but when the narration talks about him as a person with a salib, with a cross, a golden cross, it seems at least that he might be a Christian.
A Christian, and that because is why Christians are the ones who wear crosses.
Yeah. Carrying a cross. So this is, one viewpoint, and based on one group of the narrations. The second viewpoint based on one narration is that Sufyani, firstly, he is a Muslim, but then he converts to Christianity.
Okay.
We have again another Mursal narration in this regard from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, according to which the Imam has been quoted as saying, وَيَذْهَبُ إِلَى الرُّومِ لدفع الملك الخراساني. To oppose the ruling of Khurasani and to, ruin the kingdom of Khurasani, Sufyani will go to Rome.
Okay.
وَيَرْجِعُ مِنْهَا مُتَنَسْتَرًا. And he will come back from Rome while he has converted to Christianity. Meaning okay. that, first of all, he's Muslim. But then after going to Rome, he will convert to Christianity.
Okay.
And the third viewpoint, based on some narrations, is that no, he's just a Muslim.
Okay.
For example, according to one narration quoted by Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that, I think I shared this narration before, some people in Al-Wad al-Yabis go to Sufyani and just reprimand him, damaging Islam. And you see that people, the Muslims, are suffering from different problems. Aren't you going to help your religion?
Yeah.
So it means that he should be Muslim. Okay. And that is why these people, they are reprimanding him for damaging the reputation of the religion of Islam and asking him to help the religion okay. of Islam.
Yeah.
Of course, this is a narration in Sunni sources, not in Shia sources. This is in Iqdud Durar, section 4, chapter 2, page 90.
Okay.
There is also one narration in Shia sources. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, As-Sufyani lam ya'budu Allah qat, wa lam yara Makkah wa lal Madina qat. Sufyani has not worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. He has not seen Mecca and Medina at all. Of course, the narration is weak because of a certain Ali ibn al-Sabbah bin al-Dahhak in the chain. Of course, the narration does not call him a Muslim. Imam is somehow referring to the fact that he is not a true Muslim.
Yeah,
I mean, you cannot say such a thing about a Christian that he has not seen Mecca and Medina. A Christian is not supposed to see Mecca and Medina.
I just recalled where a prophet tells those people, I don't worship the God mm-hmm. that you worship. Definitely your religion is different than that of mine, referring to Muslims of that exactly. time.
So when Imam says that he has not seen Mecca and Medina, meaning that he's a Muslim, but he's not a true Muslim. Otherwise, Imam cannot say for a Jewish person or a Christian person he had not seen Mecca and Medina. So this is natural.
This does not make sense.
So he should have been a Muslim, and that is why Imam is talking about some of the negative points about As-Sufyani. And of course, we know that the uprising of Sufyani would be from Sham, the Levant, and okay. which is an Islamic country. This is another indication to claim
that he's a Muslim.
To just reconcile between these contradicting narrations, some people claim that we may come to this conclusion that Sufyani, first of all, is apparently Muslim, but then later he converts to Christianity, maybe because of the fact that he wants to attract the Western countries, the Christian countries, to help him in opposing Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So the conclusion regarding the religion of Sufyani is that there is no authentic narration in this regard. We cannot
say what is his religion.
Exactly. But as I mentioned, the main point about him is that he is a fierce enemy to the Shia.
All right. So he's an enemy, be that a Muslim or non-Muslim, because we have so many Muslims around who are Muslims, but in their actions, they really are not, as Imam says, that he has never seen Mecca and Medina and he has never worshipped Allah. So which means that we do have some Muslims around who claim to be Muslims, but their actions say something totally opposite. May Allah make us among the real followers of Imam. Thank you. Dr. Karimi, for being with us. Thank you, dear listeners. Allahumma ajil walika al-faraj. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.